Just in time for Halloween, here's your recurring print nightmare. AWS calls Microsoft a meanie face, and have you paid your security tax? These stories and more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by the Salty Soul Foundation. Since 2017, Salty Soul has removed over 20,000 pounds of trash in Florida and California. Visit SaltySoulFoundation.org to support this organization via direct donation or purchase of their merchandise.
Good morning and welcome to the July 26, 2022 episode of MSP Dispatch. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. Tony, how you doing today?
Much better. Caught a little bug last week. I was down for a few days and I am back.
And I want to say thanks again for being that super trooper you are and, you know, getting through the episode. We appreciate it as always, but I'm glad you're back in action.
Thank you. And just for everyone's understanding of what it was, literally right after the show, fell asleep for 2 days. So I'm glad everyone, I got great feedback on the show, but today's a new day, new show, new news. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. As reported by Sergio Gatlan of Bleeping Computer, Microsoft warns of issues on USB on Windows 10 due to updates related from the June 28th updates. Microsoft's currently investigating issues regarding printing issues since the June 28th updates. Affected platforms include Windows 10 version 20H2, 21H1, and 21H2, and Windows Server 20H2. Users reported that apps referring to the printer using a specific name, not being able to print, and Windows displaying duplicates of installed printers with similar names and the suffix copy one. In other words, printer operations may be interrupted or fail when either scenario is encountered. Tony, we're supposed to patch as quickly as possible, right? But printers don't work again. I mean, what are we supposed to do here, man?
Oh, do you remember that amazing scene from, just so everyone can fill in the names here, somebody's a little frustrated with the printer, they take it out into a field, and then the music starts playing, and he is beating the snot out of that thing. I'm not going to name the name, just for royalty. Do we have to pay royalty if I even say the name?
We're getting back to a day. With the shenanigans, right? I know what you're talking about.
Office Space?
There you go.
Yeah. Do I have to pay now? I don't know. But if that's the case where we're going to be frustrated with our printers, where things that should work just don't, but they should work, and it doesn't excuse the fact that you're trying to do something that you would normally do every single day, and there comes along something that just makes it a little bit more difficult. In this particular case, it's not a little more difficult. It's a massive, massive issue, because now they're doing it at a systemic level on the Microsoft side. I don't know, Rick. What are your thoughts on this? I feel like we're circling back, where the mullet is now back to being cool, and Office Space. We're gonna have to pay again. Office Space. You know, we're gonna be out in the field beating that thing up with a baseball bat. Where we have a full time IT person, and their job is just to make sure the dot matrix is feeding the paper correctly. Unpack this for me.
I mean, so much of last year was tied up in the quagmire that was Print Nightmare. I mean, it was month after month, patch after patch, where MSPs didn't know what to do. Every single patch released had the same question. Okay, well, can we print again? Some MSPs went all the way and just shut down, you know, printing, only allowing direct printing. Some others, you know, said, okay, well, we know there's a vulnerability here, but we can do as much as possible within reason to block it, knowing that there was no 100% block for many months. I mean, it was literally a nightmare. All that was missing was a hockey mask and a glove with knives on it. It was the worst of the worst, right? And now we're doing this again. I don't know if Microsoft knows this, but some people, not me, I don't have a printer, but some people rely on printing. Like, maybe do some quality control. Stop making your users a quality control. It's frustrating, right? Like, you want to patch. You want to patch quickly. You want to say, okay, you have your system up to date. In many cases, insurance companies are putting you, you know, putting you on the line saying you better patch within X number of days of release. If not, if something happens, we're not going to insure you. And then something like this happens where you're still not able to print and you're still out of business. What if you have to do receipts and you're required to do receipts or, you know, shipping ladles or whatever else? What do you do with that, right? How do you function?
Well, let's try to walk this back for just a moment. Is it the entanglement of everything is either, you know, functional and massively scalable because there's a lot of complexity involved, or is it just really simple? And I think what's happening is we had to make that choice where maybe those small updates are slowly but surely diluting the functionality. Could be the scalability and possibly the security side. So it's that constant tug of war between the two, simplicity or security. And in this case, the security won and the simplicity is non-existent.
I don't know what the answer is. I know it's frustrating to all hell, but you know, what are you going to do? Speaking of things that don't get along, Tony, you have a story of Microsoft and AWS maybe not getting along?
I do. As discussed in CRN.com, Amazon executive calls out Microsoft and their licensing tactics as anti-competitive. Amazon Web Services executive Matt Garman, AWS Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing, took shots at Microsoft licensing policies on the Microsoft-owned LinkedIn this week, saying that the Microsoft's recent license rhetoric is troubling admission of anti-competitive tactics. The Microsoft answer is to not do what's right for the customers and fix their policies so all customers can run Microsoft software on a cloud provider they choose, but rather, under the pretext of supporting European technology needs, Microsoft proposes to select cloud providers about whom it is less competitively concerned with and allow Microsoft software to only run on those providers, Garman wrote. In response, Microsoft comes out firing. Quote, how many cloud providers does AWS allow to run AWS software? Quote, what Amazon IP does Amazon allow customers to run in the Microsoft cloud? Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella didn't mention AWS by name, but he did say, quote, across our offerings, we offer the best value at every stage of the cloud migration, he said. To just share two examples, it's up to 80% less expensive to run Windows Server VMs, virtual machines, on Azure and SQL Server VMs on Azure than it is with our main competitor. Ray, I have so many things to unpack here because we have what I consider to be two kids in the schoolyard starting to talk smack. And if we peel back the layers, I'm really interested to see what is the core issue here. Is it that one isn't allowing the other to run their software? Is it that one isn't allowing the other to run their software at the same price? Or is it that the other one isn't allowing any of the above, but still expects it from the opposing party? Or, and I'm just throwing this out there, is that maybe they just don't like each other in general and they're nitpicking. What are your thoughts on this? Help me land this one.
See, if this was a Bill Gates era, if this was, the Windows XP guy, I forget his name. If this was that era where different business units of Microsoft were literally fighting each other, trying to get features out, fighting against other departments within the same org, I would be all about Microsoft, be nice, play nice in the sandbox. But in this Satya Nadella era, where we have Linux on Windows, Android on Windows, we have functioning versions of Microsoft Office on Mac, we have open source PowerShell, we have open source .NET, Microsoft has gone above and beyond to play nice with others. So as much as I love Satya when he's very professional, very dignified, but the dude knows how to throw back when he says, you know what, how many of your software pieces can you run on alternate clouds to, when he says that to AWS, that's in the words of
Isn't Scrubs, that beautiful?
Flip whoop. I mean, come on, dude. That's awesome. I mean, if that's not a mic drop moment, I don't know what is. Now, we use AWS. I can't run any EC2s or Elastic Beanstalk on anything else, right? AWS has their methodology for cloud orchestration, or learn Terraform so you can apply across all clouds, which Azure absolutely supports Terraform. I have to side with Microsoft on this. They have been playing with everybody else.
Oh, that's the exact point that I wanted to make, is that when I first started reading this article, I said, wow, AWS has every right to be upset, and this is horrible. We need to talk about this. The moment I read that response of, really? How much AWS IP do you allow us to run in Azure? I was like, and the mic is dropped. That is a done deal. It was a beautiful response, but I do believe there's going to be an undercurrent involved here, where now they're both going to have to either play with each other or silo themselves into, which could unfortunately be a rip current for all of the players out there that are listening to this right now. All of the MSP Dispatch customers that are listening to this, getting their news updates, are going to be one of those sides, AWS or Microsoft. And right now you're able to play in both, but pretty soon this particular rip current could prevent that from happening. But again, I would love to hear from all of the players out there, what can we talk about that makes the most sense to you? Ray, do you want to talk about some of the ways to contact us here?
Yeah, absolutely. Hit us up, news@mspmedia.tv. Hit us in the comments. Hit us on Twitter. Hit us on Reddit. We're posting to our own sub as well as our MSP. And thanks to Devin SysAdmin, we're also posting on our MSSP for those security-focused professionals. I also want to invite you, we did cover a similar story a few weeks ago where Microsoft was proactively lowering their licensing requirements in the EU so third-party hosts could host Microsoft services and not be at a licensing costed disadvantage because they saw the storm coming from the EU. Maybe not for the right reasons, but they were absolutely playing nice in the sandbox ultimately, which is, I think, all that we really care about. But we want to know what you care about. So hit us up in any of those media channels and we'll definitely put it on the screen and talk about it.
Absolutely. And one of the things I also want to mention is that great loopback, but this could be bad for business, but there are other things that are not good for business either. And Ray, do you have a story about that?
I sure do. As reported by Dave Sobel on his Business of Tech podcast, Dave being a friend of the show, he was on as a guest last week. He refers to security as possibly a tax, but maybe not a good one. He refers to it as security that doesn't drive revenue, but it does add complexity. It's a tax you pay to ensure criminals don't steal your stuff. He even goes as far to call it a mafia protection scheme, which I kind of love. And he talks about software often being the largest expense behind payroll. Within those software expenses, IT tools being fifth on the list of software spend. Now, if you're a MSP that is focused on that list in the good, better, best model, you're going to focus on what's going to be the highest spend items to generate revenue. Now, he does call out vendors who call security an opportunity, and in his words, it feels icky. In the world of good, better, best, again, Dave's words, security is worse than good. It's a tax. Pitch it as an obligation instead of something driving the business. Separate your services that drive revenue apart from those that are tax. We will, of course, link Dave's full podcast on the show notes below so you can listen to it. Now, Tony, some feel very strongly against calling this a security tax. One of Dave's listeners even went so far as to reach out to him, arguing their point. Dave is going to be doing a live stream on Thursday at 3 p.m. We will include the registration link below so you can listen to him talk live and even give your feedback. But in your mind, what's your take on this? Do you see security as a tax? Do you see it as a benefit or an opportunity, as these vendors would have you believe?
I would love to say here's an out of the box solution. I would love to say that, you know, I have a very well formulated response for this, but I don't think it exists. I think there's a framework that needs to be established, and that framework starts with not have a mafia style tax involved. Let's start off with the thing.
It's a deal you can't refuse, man. And,
I get the chef's kiss in them. So I think the
can we get a horse really, head really like coming believe... in on Tony?
and that's exactly what I'm talking about. The things you don't want to do have to be identified first, because those are the easy, low hanging fruit. The irony is that everybody wants to, you know, they want the Holy Grail. They want to jump to the very end, and then they bypass the very things that they should have addressed from the very beginning, which causes systemic failure. I would love to believe that there is an ultimate solution that can be what can be considered a best practice, but I truly, truly don't believe that there's a well-formulated argument for anything other than let's talk about it. There are things that we should not do. Mafia-style tax is definitely on that list, in my opinion. But there's also going to be a lot of things that you can do, and there could be a point of diminishing returns that has to be acknowledged. So I don't have the answer, and I wish I did, but I want to hear from everybody else. I want to hear, like, hey, why don't we just do this? Because why don't we just do this, and why don't we just do that? Those are the pixels that make up the big picture. It's critical to me. My thoughts. Ray, what are yours?
So here's the thing. I don't disagree. I in theory, if it's my P&L, I do like the idea of separating revenue generating actions and spend apart from those that are just operating expenses. We do that with rent. We do that with electricity. We do that with payroll taxes. I absolutely get that on my P&L. However, if I'm going to sell to a client, I'm not a big fan of making things line item. I'm not a big fan of making things complicated. So I don't believe this is a go into the sale. Now, I'm not saying Dave said this. I'm saying how I'm looking at it. I wouldn't go into the sale and say, hey, here's the things that are going to improve revenue, improve your operating efficiency, improve your staff productivity and their quality of life. And then here's the things you got to do, because if not, somebody's going to knock on your door and break your kneecaps. Now, figuratively, of course, but you know, maybe when you're doing your VCIO, maybe when you're doing your QBRs, or maybe when you're doing your annual budgets and those kind of things, yes, that is a place to maybe separate those things. Because I believe when you're doing that, when you're having that conversation, then you absolutely can go back to the client and say, this is how we're improving things. These are necessary spends. I get it. We'd love to not have to pay for these 19 things of you know, security stack and SOC, SIM, EDR, MDR, OPP, UNITY, whatever. I get that, but we have to. We have to do that so that your computers don't get encrypted. We have to do that so you can have a good cybersec policy. We got to do that. Fine. And then this other spend, this other 80% is the things that is actually driving revenue and making your company better. So you don't have to hire five people. You can hire two. So you can earn 80 cents on the dollar versus 30 cents on the dollar. As part of a QBR play, I absolutely agree with it. Absolutely think that's a smart idea. But that takes a high level of financial maturity and understanding at the MSP level to understand how to talk these numbers. And I haven't met a lot of MSPs that are qualified to do that. And now I get all the hate mail. I understand. Don't hate me if you're an MSP that's already doing it. I can't even say
like, I'd also like to point out that we know a lot of MSP, so if you think we're talking about you, probably not. But that being said, what we've seen is, and just like the other MSPs, what we have all seen collectively is we should write books and books and books about them one day. But
thank you for in the words of Napoleon.
In the words of Napoleon, history is a fable that is just agreed upon. So let's try to figure out which part of this story we all agree on and say, hey, this is a part of our history now. We all agree that this is the best way, and that includes not having a mafia-style ransom
You know what I'd love to hear?
System.
You know what I'd love to hear? I'd love to hear the MSPs that say I'm wrong. Put it in the chat. If you're having these conversations already and you're separating revenue like that, and you're having those conversations with your clients and it's working for you or not working for you, let us know. We want to know. And if you'd be willing to come on the show and describe how you're doing it, I'll put that call out there. Please come teach us, show us, and educate everybody else. I'd love to see it. So, Tony, I think that's it for our major stories. We got some notable mentions coming up. What do you got for us, bud?
And in notable mentions, HP launches a new managed printing solution. As stated in channeldailynews.com, Carlos Farre, Global Head of Print Services and Solutions at HP, said they need intelligent printers with advanced features and streamlined work processes. The HP LaserJet managed E800 and E700 series offers customers and channel partners a sleek, fully customizable, and easily manageable portfolio to meet today's workplace and digitization goals, now and in the future. HP Flex Build provides flexible configurations to meet different business needs. HP says the devices were purpose-built for the channel and that partners can easily field upgrade functions such as printer speed by simply changing a speed license. It's going to make things interesting. Ray, what about you?
Microsoft reminder, Windows Server 20H2 reaches end of sale next month for standard core and data center core users. On July 24th, Microsoft announced again that Windows Server 20H2 reaches end of sale on August 9th after two separate announcements since May 2022. In the same month, Microsoft also revealed that the Windows semi-annual channel, SAC, would no longer be available after August 9th. i.e. August 9th will be the last update for this version, and devices running under this version will no longer be protected from the latest security threats. Also, with the SAC shutting down at the same time, most of the features have been moved to Windows Server 2022. Windows Server LTSC, Long-Term Servicing Branch, versions will be released every 2 to 3 years, with users getting 5 years of mainstream support plus 5 years of extended support. Also in Microsoft news, massive Microsoft 365 outage caused by faulty ECS deployment. Microsoft has admitted that the five-hour-long outage affecting Microsoft 365, or as I like to call it, Microsoft 359, which affected multiple regions caused by a faulty Enterprise Configuration Service ECS deployment. Asia Pacific was the area most affected because of the business hours coinciding with the outage. In addition, about 300,000 calls were affected. This week's upcoming events, 7:26 at 3 p.m. Eastern on LinkedIn, ConnectWise's Pitch It, featuring Compliance Risk with Tim Golden. 7:27 through 7:28 in-person event, ASCII Success Summit in Toronto, Canada. 7:28, 3 p.m. Eastern, listener response, tax is absolutely the wrong word, presented by MSP Radio. 7:28, 6:30 p.m., The Tech Bar Podcast, Episode 40, with Nicholas Gable, Alex Parmenter, and Elizabeth Copeland. 7:28 through 7:29, in-person event, Build It Live 2022 in New Jersey. 7:29, 10 a.m. Eastern, MSP Dispatch Week Wrap-Up, presented by yours truly and Tony Francisco on the MSP Media Network. Tony, I think that's a wrap for today. That's a lot of great stories and a lot to think about. Hope nobody gets a knock on their door with an offer they can't refuse, unless it's to watch MSP Dispatch on Friday. So remember, we're in your podcast feeds. Remember, we're in your on YouTube. We're everywhere you want to be at, just not that newsletter that one listener asked for, but we'll think about it. Until next time, thank you so much, Tony. Appreciate your thoughts and insight. Hope you have an awesome rest of the week. We'll see you on Friday, man.
You too, brother. Talk to you later.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.